Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to a special edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host Macaulay Matthew, I'm of course William Mamo. What's up, Mac? How are you doing?
Hey, man, how's it going? I'm pumped up. Nick,
You ain't the only one.
Go,
Nick. Tonight, I should say tomorrow night.
Tomorrow
night, it goes down.
Mm-hmm.
Knicks versus Hawks. Man, so ladies and gentlemen, you already know what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the Knicks upcoming game, their first game since 2013. You know, let us know what you think. Are you happy the Knicks are back in the playoffs, first time in like 8 years? Are you PO'd that they're back? If you're a Knick hater, let us know. You know, if you're indifferent, you don't care either way, feel free to call in the show. You know, Whatever you want to talk about, this is your free and safe space to express yourself. So if you want to talk to us, feel free to call us at 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. So feel free to talk about this, Knicks topics, or any topics. Of course, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the Yankees, the Mets, and anything that's on our mind or anything you guys would like to talk about. So, again, the number is 563-999-3529. 563-999-3529. So, again, the floor is yours. And right now, tomorrow night, the floor is going to be the New York Knicks. Today's episode is called We Here for Knicks versus Hawks Playoff Series Preview, 2021 edition. So why are we here for the Knicks? Well, because the Knicks, they're the fourth seed. They shattered any expectation that anybody had of the Knicks doing, even us Knicks fans. Diehard, longtime Knicks fans since the 90s. You know, the good times, even though the bad times, you know, even the good times we had in the 90s Knicks teams, man, they unfortunately always had a bad ending. Thanks to Jordan. Thanks to Olajuwon. And at the very end of that incredible run, you know, you know, Duncan and Robinson, man. It's like every time we get up that hill, there's always some Hall of Famer that knocks us off, man. Like, And then I didn't even talk about Reggie Miller. You know, yeah. I mean, there's so many villains that we had to battle against. You know, it was like a 90s cartoon. Like back in the 80s, in the 80s, the good guys always win at the end of the cartoon or the episodes, you know. But in the 90s, that's when you had villains, you know, actually outsmarting the heroes, whether it's Batman the Animated Series or I'm trying to think of some other shows, X-Men or where on Earth is Carmen Sandiego. Like the villains can get away, your sense of security of seeing the good guys always overcoming the bad guys, it was shaken because, you know, those cartoons, man, like 80s to me. The highlight of the cartoon era started in the 80s, and then the 90s, man, it just took it to that whole another level, man. So I'm taking you back to the Knicks, man. That's what the Knicks have done, man. They brought us back to the 90s defense, that no-holds-barred defense, that attitude-era defense that doesn't take any crap from anybody. They share the ball, and, you know, we're the underdogs. You know, and we gotta take this series. And here's a weird thing I found out recently, and I checked this out as this song is going on, and it looks like this is legit. This is like it's legit. One of my favorite songs growing up, especially sports wise. You heard it? Yes, you heard the NBA on NBC. You know, Ron Ball Rock, I think it was called. But, of course, I also played, that one was from John Tesh. But the other song I played was, of course, the Go New York Go song from the 90s Knicks teams. You know, they've had various different versions of them. You know, the 94 Knicks had one, the 99 had one, and then I think 2013 someone did another version of it. But, yeah, I found out something extremely weird. Are you sitting down, Mac?
Oh, yeah.
I hope you're sitting down, too, ladies and gentlemen, because one of the writers of the Go New York Go song, his name is Jesse Itzler, right? This dude, he owns Zico Coconut Water and other companies. But here's the weird thing. Are you sitting down, Mac?
Oh, yeah, been sitting down.
This dude is a corner of the Atlanta Hawks.
Oh, really?
Like, I'm guessing he's rooting for the Hawks. With this song, I'm assuming he was a Knicks fan, but, you know, hey, his money grew up, and he's like, hey, I can't buy the Knicks, so I'm going to just buy the Hawks.
Wow.
You know? I mean, it's shocking. Like, you would have thought whoever did this song, this incredible song, would have been a Knicks fan and would have been a Knicks for life. But hey, you know, he's a smart businessman. You know, he got his money and he was able to buy an NBA team. I mean, you can't fault that, but it's just weird. Like, it's
weird
that a guy who made arguably the greatest Knicks song is you know, owns the Hawks. Like, I mean, it's the irony of it is funny, but hey,
wow.
You know, props to him. You know, he, like, again, he's a smart businessman.
That's a paradox.
Yeah, I wish he could have had enough money to buy the Knicks, but you know, it is what it is. You know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, this is gonna be a great series. You know, you got the young team in you know, Trae Young. We got our old friend Gallinari coming back to try to hunt the Knicks. And then you got the blend of veterans, Randall, Julius Randall, who got robbed of being an MVP candidate, a finalist. You know, I mean, you know, it goes to Steph Curry. I'm trying to think of the other two off the top of my head. The finalists. Let me check who the other finalists were. But yeah, what's his name? I think Curry's gonna win that one, and he should. But yeah, Randall should at least got a nod for that one. I mean, obviously he's in the running for the most improved player, which he should win that. Derrick Rose, Derrick Rose is going to be a finalist for the Sixth Man Award, but you know, he said that he'd prefer, you know, the success in the playoffs than the Sixth Man Award, which obviously you can't fault him for that. And Tom Thibodeau, he did lose the coaches' vote of the NBA Coach of the Year. However, this is not the NBA Coach of the Year Award. That one is coming, I think, during the finals or the playoffs or around that time. It's not – because there was a huge misconception that, you know, Monty Williams beat him out for that. Well, Monty Williams could very well beat him out for that because, I mean, you know, Monty Williams did a phenomenal job with the Phoenix Suns. You know, obviously they got, you know, Devin Booker and Chris Paul. Yeah, they got a good team. And not to mention, Monty Williams, you know, he was always a good coach in the league. And, you know, he faced heartbreak. Losing his wife and, you know, doing an inspirational speech about, you know, how, you know, Jesus is going to carry him, you know, through this situation that he's in. And, you know, he was able to, you know, come back and, you know, coach this Phoenix Suns team. So, you know, obviously he's a well-deserving man to you know, and coach to get the award. But, yeah, I mean, I think, to you know, all due respect, I think, and I know I sound like a Knicks homer, you know, waving the orange and blue, but I think Tom Thibodeau should get it because, I mean, we all knew Tom Thibodeau was a former Coach of the Year. He's a great coach, a defensive genius, and you know, obviously, you know, he should be in the running. But for him to take last year's Knicks team and turn it into a playoff contender, you know, a playoff team. I mean, come on, you gotta give up to him. RJ Barrett and Julius Randle took their games to a whole nother level. I mean, obviously you can point to Julius Randle being the leader of the team and, you know, turning his career around, and then RJ Barrett and all the other guys, they jump suit because, you know, once your leader is, you know, leading by example, you know, you're gonna follow the lead, and and it's you know, the team's successful. So props to the Knicks. You know, the Tom Thibodeau, man. Like, I knew, you know, I thought the Knicks ceiling would have been an 8 seed before the season started. I thought they would have started off slow, like most Knicks team do and does, and of course, you know, they have a horrible second half and get knocked out. But I felt like, you know, with Thibodeau, they had a shot to have a slow first half and then have a good second half and then just barely make it to the playoffs as the 8 seed. But man, with Thibodeau, man, he just it sped up the rebuilding and maturation of the players in this 1 year. Like, it's remarkable, and everybody's buying to the system. You got Derrick Rose, a blast from the past from Thibodeau's Chicago and Minnesota days, and then of course Rose is now a 2-time Knick, and you're just getting so many contributions from everybody on the court. The rookie quickly. I mean, like, this team is quickly, the talk of the town in New York, even though we have the Nets who did well one game one. We're going to get into that right after we do our Knicks talk. But, Mac, what's on your mind, man?
Oh, man, I can't wait for the game tomorrow. I mean, the Knicks, you know, this team has been very resilient all year, and Thibodeau definitely deserves to win Coach of the Year. If he doesn't, then I'm going to go down to the NBA office and have a riot because I'm not playing around. He deserves – I mean, look at the stats. The Knicks are number one in almost all the defensive stats. I mean, couldn't say that last year. I mean, their defense was horrible. Now their defense is top-notch. It's the best in the league. You know, they play tough and physical. And their offense has been playing real well as well, shooting a lot of three-pointers. You got Bullock, Burks, Randall hitting threes all over the place, you know. So not only are they a good defense team, but they're also one of the best offensive teams in NBA as well. So Thibodeau, just for that, Thibodeau deserves Coach of the Year. And, again, if he doesn't, then, you know, that there should be an investigation into that. But the Knicks, I'm looking forward to the game tomorrow. I think it's good. You know, the Hawks, they had a very good season as well. You know, they have their superstar, Trae Young. But I think the Knicks are going to take this series in 6 games. It's going to be tough, but I think they're going to take it in 6 games. And, man, it's going to be fun to watch. You know, we haven't had playoff basketball in a while. And so I just hope that the fans just go out there, you know, they're loud and they're cheering on the Knicks, and the Knicks just play hard, and hopefully they don't get swept. But I presented this question to you earlier today. If the Knicks do end up getting swept, do you still think this is a good season?
Yeah, and that's a very good question. You know me, if you've been listening to this show since 2009, I normally feel like, if you get knocked out of the first round in the playoffs and you get swept, then it doesn't even count. It's like you're a paper playoff team.
I disagree.
But this Knicks team is the exception. I'm going to give them a pass, and I would, to be honest with you, I've never had to use this pass before, because I would only use this pass if my team won a championship and they were trying to defend the title. This would be the only time I would use this pass. I've never spoken to you about this. My teams have never won a championship while I'm, you know, as I'm a fan of them. You know, it's either I'm too old or I'm too young to, you know, in the Mets case, to see them win a title. But with that said, my team would have won a championship, man, they got a pass for the whole next year if they don't win it all. You know what I mean? Like, I'm good. Like, hey, you know, you won the title. Obviously, you want to try to win it again, but hey, you know, I'm good. I'm good with that title. You know, we're in the history books. But this Knicks team, I'm gonna give them a pass, because the Knicks, they've been out of the playoffs for 8 years. you know, Tom Thibodeau, he changed the culture. Like I was saying, he sped up the rebuilding process of the Knicks. You know, the Knicks are playoff bound. You know, the Knicks are like two superstars away from being a serious championship contending team. You know what I mean? So with that said, they're playing with house money, you know? The pressure is on the other teams to knock them out. You know what I mean? I mean, with the exception of the Hawks, is a young team as well. But like the Nets, which, you know, obviously now they have, you know, the big three, and, you know, Celtics, they're battling out, which we're going to talk about very soon. You know, you got these other teams, you know, in the NBA, the pressure's on them. Obviously the Lakers. The Lakers just beat out the Warriors, you know. So the pressure's on all these other upper echelon teams to knock out the Knicks, because Knicks, right now, they're the Cinderella story of the NBA, you know. And Nate McMillan, before the game even started, was saying, like, the league wants the Knicks to win this series, you know, because, you know, the league, you know, wants a big seed to be in the playoffs. What he said is partially true. It's not the same. And, you know, watching the playoff games, if the Knicks, the Lakers, the Celtics are not in the playoffs, which rarely happens, the NBA is, you know, it's not the same. It's not, you know what I mean? But I disagree with him that they want the Knicks to win. Because if they wanted the Knicks to win, the ping pong balls would have been going the Knicks' way. Ever since Patrick Ewing won it in 85, the Murphy's Law rule has been in effect with the Knicks. What could go wrong has gone wrong. And since 2001, with the exception of the 2013 Knicks team, everything has gone wrong. Hall of Fame coaches can't coach these players. GMs making horrible decisions, overpaying for mediocre at best players. It's been going on and on and on and on and on. But now they changed the culture with Leon Rose, with Tom Thibodeau, Roy West, and everybody, the whole entire coaching, they changed the culture of the team. And now, possibly, Knicks could maybe attract a star player, you know, in the offseason. Maybe. Or you most likely will have a wait-and-see attitude and see, hey, let's see how the Knicks do again this upcoming year. And then they'll see what happens. But right now, we can't think about the free agency. We can't think about potential trades. Right now, we got to just do the best that we can with the guys we have right now. So right now, the focus is on, you know, the Hawks. You know, I think, and I do pick them to beat the Hawks, but it's not going to be easy. I think the Knicks are going to win in either 6 or 7 games. But, you know, it's going to be a tough series. You know, this is going to be a battle. You got these young Bucks and the Hawks, you know, playing, and then you got our mix of veterans and young players as well. So this is gonna be an exciting series. But in order for us to win this series, we gotta shut down Trae Young.
Now you mentioned Knicks. You know, you mentioned that the 2013 season. You will forget the Knicks made the playoffs 3 years in a row. From 2011 to 2013. In 2011, they finished 42-40. And before that, they hadn't made the playoffs in 7 years. They had a team with Melo, Stoudemire, and they were coached by D'Antoni. They got swept by the Celtics. Now, this year, if they get swept by the Hawks, which I don't think is going to happen, but let's say, you know, hypothetically, if that did happen, what's the difference between this team and that team? Because that team, they probably were more talented, but they had a 13 game improvement in wins, and I thought they played really well until they got swept by the Celtics. But what would be the difference if they got swept this year compared to when they got swept back in 2011?
That's a very good question, Mac. That's a very good question. right there. What is the difference between this year and that team? The difference is with that team and this team is that what the Knicks are doing right now, all the misery that the Knicks have went through between, I'm including what happened from 2013, not only what happened from 2013 on to now, but I'm talking about from us getting that first round knockout from the Toronto Raptors 20 years ago. This is the culmination of all those horrible seasons in between those times. That's the difference.
If they get swept again this year?
Yes. I'm giving them a one-time pass. I'm giving them this one-time pass. They're not going to get it again this time.
Okay.
Okay? But I'm giving it to them because they've been knocked out. Like you said, they've been swept before. They've been swept by the Nets. They've been knocked out, you know, from the playoffs.
They got swept the next year in 2012 against the Miami Heat.
I remember.
That was also a good season.
I remember that. Yeah, I remember that. But those teams, they had talented guys. They, you know, we expect them to do good. I mean, obviously not win a title, but this team was a rebuilding team. We weren't expecting them to be, you know, to be a contending team. Remember, if you watch these episodes of this show, we've been saying like the ceiling of this Knicks team is the 8th seed. You know what I mean? Yeah. If everything goes well, they could be 8th seed. But they've overachieved. They went to the fourth seed.
Yeah, true.
You know, they didn't have to be in the play-in. You know what I'm saying? Like that is remarkable. I mean, I hate this play-in format, but you know, this is the sign of the times. They want to do everything, you know, with these wild cards in baseball and all this stuff, you know, to attract more fans from different cities who would have been out of it, you know, through the typical format. You know, I get that. But the reason why I'm giving them a pass is because I'm not only, I'm taking in account all the swept that they've had in the past 20 years and all these horrible teams that they had. So it's a buildup of all the horrible stuff, the horrible trades, the horrible signings, all those stuff is culminating to me giving them a pass. This is a pass 20 years in the making of all the horrible stuff I've seen them do, you know, but for them to overachieve this year. And normally, like you say, I never, my mentality is always, if you, no matter how successful your regular season is, if you get swept in the first round of the playoffs, it's like you didn't make it. If you win one game, I'll give you that. But if you're in the record books and you get swept, you don't even win one game. I'm actually going to win the series. I'm actually going to win a game. Then it's a wash. The whole season was a wash. But this year is the exception. This year is the exception, primarily because it's the continuation of everything that happened in this past 20 years. You know what I mean? Like them trying to rebuild, they make a dumb move that sets them back, rinse and repeat. You know what I'm saying? It's everything added up to that. Whereas those other teams, you know, it was we weren't so far removed from those that 2001 team that lost to the Raptors. You know, essentially it was just a few years removed, or you know the games that you were talking about was just a decade removed. You know what I'm saying? Like this year we actually see there's a light at the end of the tunnel. It's dim, but there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Whereas those teams is like every time it looks like, you know, you're digging your way out of the ditch, you hit dirt and then it just falls all over you and you got to start over again. But this team, I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt and I'm going to give them a pass.
You know who the real MVP is this season for the Knicks?
Me and you.
No, they're hairdos. I mean, you look, they have cornrows, Randall, dreads, rolls, and couldn't play braids quickly. You know, and Bullock has that OG Woody Woodpecker hairdo. The hairdos, I would say MVP for the hairdos this year, man.
Well, speaking of that, I think it was Theo Pinson that said that he's gonna definitely Randall's definitely gonna have his hair braided for the playoffs. So even if he has to do it himself, Randall's gonna show up game one with his hair braided. Do you know why?
Why?
Because we're here.
Good luck.
We're here. That's why.
All right.
I don't know what the reason was for real, but you know, I just gotta throw it out there. For the Knick haters out there, we here. So I'm giving them a pass. History has been made. I'm giving a non-playoff team a pass. No matter what happened to the Knicks, if they get swept, if they get blown out by 20 points this playoff, I'm giving them a pass. But next year, I'm not going to be so forgiving.
Yeah.
But that's it. So that's my thing. Well, okay, what would they have to do for you for it to be a failure?
Nothing at this point.
So I'm using the Mac mentality.
Because they've overachieved and they've gone as far as they wanted to. So even if they get – I always said this to you.
I know.
Even if they get swept, this was still a good season for what they've accomplished this year. So I wouldn't consider it a failure even if they got swept. I mean, it was still a very good season. So at this point, you know, I'm just going to enjoy the ride and, you know, see how far they go.
Okay. Fair enough. I'm going to ask you the same question you asked me because, unlike me, unfortunately, cue the violins. Unlike you, I haven't seen my teams win a championship live, unless if I have to watch a video, a DVD or footage online, or maybe play a video game and simulate what it would be like to see my team win a championship. But you have seen your teams win a championship.
Yeah.
Okay, so when your team wins a championship, especially with the Yankees, what is your mentality? Do you give them a pass the following years if they don't make it, or do you have that Yankee mentality of like, okay, last year was last year, we won the title, let's just keep winning as many as we can, keep the dynasty going?
Oh yeah, of course. The next season you give them a pass, of course. Yeah, if they don't you don't really give them a pass. I mean, at the same time, you want to win. You always want to win a championship. I mean, that's the end goal, right? You always want to win a championship. So if they can do that, yes. But if they fail to do that, yeah, you give them a pass the next year, of course. That goes for any team.
You know, the typical, you know, Yankee mentality is like, hey, you know, every year we got to try to win the title, you know. And if
we
don't win the title, it's a
that's
failure.
The goal. That should be the end goal for everyone to win the title.
Wow,
I mean, if a team is not thinking of that, then, you know, you're not
serious. You're in the wrong sport.
Yeah, exactly. So as a fan, you should want your team to always try to win a championship. But, you know, if your team has won a championship the year before, yeah, of course you have to give them a pass for next year, definitely. And when the Yankees won the championship in 2009, the next year they still, you know, of course I wanted them to win it again in 2010, in 2010, but they failed to do that. But, you know, I wasn't pissed because they had won it the year before. Same goes for the New York Giants, you know, when they won in against the Patriots those two times. I gave them the pass the following years as well, you know, although I didn't expect them to win a championship.
There
was a year that remember that first time the Giants beat the Patriots?
Yeah, that was like the 07 team, I think.
Yeah, the next year, they started off the season great. They finished with like a 12-4 record, and they ended up losing in the second round against the Eagles, which was disappointing because, you know, they were picked to go to Super Bowl again. And I was kind of disappointed because I wanted them to try to win back-to-back Super Bowls. But, you know, even though I was disappointed, you know, you give them a pass because they did win it the year before by upsetting the Patriots. But, yeah, I mean, I guess for all fans,
if your team wins the championship, you got to give them a pass for next year, right? I mean, but at the same time, you always want to win the championship. So, I don't know. I don't know. It's kind of 50-50.
Okay. So, let me follow up what I'm saying. Do you give them the pass before the next season start when they're trying to defend it, or do you wait in retrospect after the season's over? And
you have to wait until the season's over, yeah. You don't know what they're going to be entering the season. I mean, you know, they could either be great or they could suck real bad, you know? You hope they win the championship, but you can't predict the outcome of what's going to happen, you know, during the season.
So you've never given your team a pass the following years before the next season started.
Well,
you know, riding the high of
you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to happen. I mean, you're entering your season. If your team win the championship, entering the next season, you're expecting your team to be very good. And to try to win it again, defend it, right?
Right.
You're not gonna just say this. Oh, my team's gonna lose. If my team loses, I'm gonna give it a pass. You can't think like that. If they do eventually lose that season, then you give them a pass, you know, because they made it last year. But no, you want to try to repeat, or you know, have them be successful just as they did the past year. You always want to get better.
Of course.
Or be just as good as last year, you know what I'm saying?
Of course. You want your team to defend and hopefully defend it successfully and then go for that dynasty.
Yeah, exactly.
Obviously. That goes without saying. But I'm saying, have you ever been like after the parade, like, man, this is great, man. Like, you know, I want them to win as many as they can. But if they don't, you know, at least I'm good with at least I saw them win the title, you know. Have you never had that mentality? Before
no.
the season started, even though, of course, your number one goal is to defend and go on for the dynasty, of course.
No, not before the season even starts. I mean, that's not a logical way to think. I mean, maybe during the season, if they're doing bad,
okay.
or as the season ends, but not before, no.
Okay. Just wondering. It just popped in my head before. I never thought of that idea before. Because I never had to deal with that problem, so it never crossed my mind.
Well, yeah, I mean, once your team reaches that point, then you'll see. You know, you'll see.
You got to admit, that's a good problem to have, though.
It is, yeah. It is. Hopefully the Knicks win the championship this year, I hope.
Hopefully. But, yeah, shifting gears.
Because it's like, let me give you a quick
okay.
It's like... It's like, you know, you score a hot girl, right? And like, oh man, this is the hottest girl I'm ever gonna be with, you know? And then you're like, okay, so you meet this hottest girl at a club, and you score a date with her, and you know, you eventually do your thing. Then you know, the next night, you're like, okay, I'm gonna try to score a girl again. And you're not immediately going to give yourself a pass and say, okay, if I get an ugly girl, then that's it for me. I don't care because I had a hot girl the night before. You don't think like that. You're like, okay, I'm going to get another hot girl the next night. You
well,
want to keep getting hot girls, you know?
Well, why don't you have a winner's – why don't you have like the mentality you have and put a ring on it, you know?
I'm talking about one-night stands, man.
I mean,
I'm getting married over here. But you see my point? Like, you know, you want to like give yourself a pass the next time. Like, think, okay, you know, I'm gonna go get this ugly girl tonight because I already had a hot girl. The ugly girl would be good for me tonight. No.
Well, why don't you think of what Jordan did and retire? You know. He retired three times. It must have worked. But, yeah, man. Also, hopefully the Knicks can shock the world, you know.
Yeah, hope
73
so.
Has been a long, long time. Long time coming, man. If we don't have a miracle in the next couple of years, man, it's going to be the 50th anniversary since our last title. And, man, it's been a long time. The last time the Knicks won a title, Sanford and Son was on TV. That's how long time ago it was. So let's try to snap the streak.
Yeah, that's a long time ago.
before all of us get a heart attack, like Fred Sanford opening. You heard that, Elizabeth? They're in the playoffs now. But I digress. So let's go, Knicks. Let's do this. Tomorrow night, the fun begins. Can't miss it. But shifting gears for real this time, we're going to talk about the Nets. And, you know, the Nets, they did what they had to do. You know, they defended home court in Brooklyn. And the big three, you know, this is the ninth game they've played with each other. But most importantly, this is the first time they played in the playoffs together. And the recipe, you know, it worked. The Nets, they won by the final score of 104-93. And Kevin Durant, he led the way with 32 points. You know, Kyrie Irving had 29 points and Harden had 21 points. So basically they scored 82 out of the 104 points that the Nets scored on tonight. And basically, you know, the Nets, they shut down Walker, Fournier, and Tatum and the rest of the Celtics. You know, they only scored 40 points in the second half, which,
yeah,
you know,
Celtics were playing real good in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
But second half, it was all Nets.
Yeah, man, and that's what we were worried about. Like, would the Nets gel, you know, playing defense, you know, would they share the ball and score in the playoffs? And yeah, sure enough, they did it. You know, because one thing, you can say is all three of these guys, you know, they've been playoff tested. And obviously Durant and Irving, you know, they've won titles, you know, for the Warriors and the Cavaliers respectively and, you know, individually, you know. Shoot, they've even battled it out against each other, you know, during those Warrior – Cavalier, you know, feud. So, yeah, man, but now they're joining forces. So, yeah, it would have been, it's, you know, a great start, you know, to this playoffs.
Yeah, it's a really good start. And today also, you had the Mavericks beat the Clippers. And I think there's another game going on right now. Let's see.
Yeah, the Mavericks beat the Clippers 113-103. The Bucks beat the Heat 109-107.
Oh, yeah,
close
that was
one
the other
overtime.
Game. Yep.
At halftime, as we speak right now, the Nuggets are leading the Trailblazers 61-58. But yeah, that's a real close one. And then, you know, tomorrow we got the Wizards facing the 76ers, the Lakers. They're battling the Suns. Of course, you know, Hawks versus Knicks that we all know about and love. And then, of course, last but not least, you got the Grizzlies versus the Utah Jazz. So, yeah, man, this is exciting NBA playoffs right here.
Oh, yeah, it's very exciting. Yeah, I saw some of that Buck Heat game. That was a very good game. It went into overtime, and Middleton ended up hitting the game-winning shot. So the Bucks survived that one. But, yeah, it's playoffs have gotten off to a good start. I'm just waiting for the Knicks to play tomorrow. I can't wait.
Mm-hmm.
Gonna have to watch that 90 Day Fiancé replay later that night.
Yep. For sure. And what was I going to say? So, yeah, that's yeah, some exciting playoffs. Yeah, it would have been interesting to see the Wizards facing the Nets, but Celtics had other plans. You know, we could have had the Battle of the Thunder MVPs. You would have had Russell Westbrook with the Wizards versus Durant and Harden battling it out. Those three teammates.
Yep.
Are going to be the three greatest players in Thunder history.
So, oh, yeah, no doubt.
That would have been a great matchup, but guess we'll have to wait until next year for something like that to go down. And then, of course, the Lakers versus Warriors. I mean, you know, those guys both teams are playing well today. You know, obviously, if this was the same Warriors team from a few years ago, this could have been a Western Conference Finals, you know, but...
Oh, yeah.
The Warriors got eliminated, and the Lakers, they're trying to defend. You know, they're thinking like Mac. You know, they want to retain the title, and worry about giving their team a pass. You know, if they get eliminated.
Really?
But yeah, great postseason so far. And yeah, before we shift gears to baseball quickly. Here's the finalists for the awards that we talked about, you know, early in the show. The MVP award, obviously, like I mentioned, Randall got robbed from a possible potential. But, yeah, you got three incredible candidates in Steph Curry, who's my pick, to be honest with you, Joel Embiid, and, of course, Novak Djokovic. On NBA Defensive Player of the Year, you got Rudy Gobert, Draymond Green, and Ben Simmons. I would give Draymond Green that one. Then you got the Sixth Man Award. You got Jordan Clarkson, who's been great, of course. Joe Ingles, and then, of course, Derrick Rose, which are obviously that's my pick right there for the Sixth Man. You got Rookie of the Year, LaMelo Ball, Anthony Edwards, and Tyrese Halliburton right there.
Edwards.
And I'll repeat what you said?
I pick Edwards.
Yeah, I think he's going to win that as well. And you've got the most improved player. You got Jeremy Grant. You got Michael Porter Jr. and Julius Randle. I mean, it's obvious who we pick. Randle, hands down. And you got Coach of the Year.
Thibodeau.
You got Quinn Snyder, you got Tom Thibodeau, and you got Monty Williams. And like we said, Tom Thibodeau should win that, you know. And, you know, we'll, as usual, we'll keep you posted once the results are revealed. But, yeah, with that said, yeah, we're going to shift gears to your Bronx Bombers, Mac. I mean, your boys, they've been smoking at the plate, winning five in a row.
Yeah.
They won 7-0.
Six in a row.
Oh, right. My fault. Six in a row. I think they won by the final score 7-0 with Garrett Cole on the mound. And that's not even the highlight of the week. Of course, we're talking about Corey Kluber turning back the clock and, you know, throwing a no-hitter. And he became, I think, the sixth pitcher this year to throw it. And for all we know, there could be one going on right now because it seemed like every week there's a no-hitter.
Yeah.
So
I know.
This just in, I'm throwing a no-hitter right now. So, I mean, who knows? Who knows who's throwing a no-hitter on the West Coast right now?
Yeah, a lot of no-hitters this year, man. It's insane. At this point, we could have like 10 or 20 no-hitters at
this
rate.
If the Mets throw a no-hitter or a perfect game, then you notice – there's something wrong. There's something wrong with this.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah, it's
crazy, I think the Padres, the Padres threw their first ever no-hitter with Joe Musgrave. Like, literally the first no-hitter in their history. It was Mets and Padres who never threw a no-hitter until, June 1st, which the anniversary is coming up soon, June 1st, 2012, when Johan Santana threw the first no-hitter. Yes, it's a controversial one, you know, because Beltran hit should have counted. But, hey, if the WWE referees didn't see it, I didn't see it either. So the streak got snapped. And then, of course, Joe Musgrave, you know, throwing his no-hitter earlier this year. So.
And you're right. It is a Knicks. Yankees have won 5 in a row, not 6 in a row. Right. Wishful thinking on my part for tomorrow when they sweep the White Sox tomorrow. But Yankees have been playing well. They've won, I think, 2 out of the last 31 starts. 2020 to the last 31 games, I should say. And the pitching has been brilliant. Right now we lead the American League in ERA. You know, Herman and Kluber, for the last 7 games, you know, I think Kluber is 4-1, and Herman is also 4-1 over the last 7 games. So they've been pitching great. And Cole, I mean, he's been phenomenal this year. You know, he had a great game today. Struck out 7, and I think only walked 3. So he improves to 6-2. But the offense, you know, we still need to see more from the offense, because I think the offense is still a bit more – is still inconsistent at times. So I want to see more from the offense. But the pitching has been great all year. The only weakest link right now on the Yankees is Talon. You know, he's a bit inconsistent. So we need him to step up. And once he gets his stuff all together – you know, we could be unstoppable in the American League. You know, for our pitching, I think we can go a long way. So the Yankees right now, they're playing real well. And right now they're only a game back of the Red Sox. So American League better watch out. So we're coming.
Yep. The Yankees are back on track. So it's scary for the league, the rest of the league, you know, because obviously, you know, we already know. I could just drop the mic. You know how the Yankees are. You know, once they get on a hot streak. And they threw a no hitter too, which, you know, that, you know, the Yankee, you got the Yankee fans grinning in ear to ear, you know. What happens every time they throw a no hitter, a perfect game in the season, so.
And you know, so Kluber throws a no hitter, and then the next night we get a triple play. Like, what's going on?
What's his name on the mound? Chapman.
Yeah. Was it a 6-4-3? Is it triple
probably,
play?
Yeah.
From third, second to first. Or is it 6-5-4 or something like
I
that?
I think maybe it's a 6-4-3. Let me do the math. Okay, one is the pitcher, two is the catcher, three is first base. 4 is the second baseman. 5 is the shortstop. 6 is the pitcher. I mean, six is the third baseman, and then I think 7, 8, 9 is from left to right field. So that'd be 7, 8, 9. So that would be most likely a 6-4-3 double play.
Yeah, exactly. It was a 6-4-3 double play. Yep. So that was. Man, it's been a fun week for the Yankees.
Talking about the position players, you know, it kind of reminds me of that old school. Abin Castillo who's on first.
Oh yeah, right. That infamous bit.
But yeah, man.
Yeah,
we'll be talking more about the Yankees as the season go along, because they're not going anywhere except for the playoffs. So
yeah,
we'll keep you posted.
Just gotta keep it up.
Yep. Shifting gears, the Mets, man. You know, they've been playing better lately, even though they fell by the final score of 3-1 earlier today. Joel Lucchesi, you know, he pitched a good game. I mean, as a Met, in his Met career, he hasn't been pitching all that well. You know, he hasn't been getting into the fourth or fifth inning. But today, he was he he threw like no one hit ball. Like he went four innings, struck out eight, and this guy was like on his way to go into the fifth inning, but unfortunately Rojas took him out of the fifth inning after four innings. And I'm like, why did he do that? Like this dude was, you know, he was pitching good. He struck out eight guys. He only threw 43 pitches. Like this guy is a former starter. You know what I'm saying? Like it's not like this was a bullpen game and he exceeded expectations. Like leave him in the game. Like he was shaking other starts that he's had, but you know, leave him in. Apparently, you know, they felt like Rojas felt like, you know, he's been in the bullpen and I guess he felt like he didn't have the durability to do it. But I mean, this guy, I mean, he was pitching great. You know, he went to Sean Reed Foley, you know, a guy we traded in the whatchamacallit, the Steven Matz trade. And, you know, he's pitched well in relief. You know, the Mets end up falling to them. And going back to Joey Lucchese, he was traded in a three team trade in the offseason in January 19th of this year. You know, basically the Mets, you know, they got Lucchese, of course. The Padres received Andy Rodriguez. And in the the Padres got the Andy Rodriguez, they got David Benar, Oscar Cruz, Drake Fellows, Hudson Head, but the marquee guy that was traded in this deal was the Padres trading Joe Musgrave in this trade, and look what happened. They trade him on January 19th, April 9, 2001. That's when Musgrave snapped the Padres, you know, no-hit streak when he no-hit the Padres. So Mets, you know, inadvertently, you know, was part of that history. Because if the Mets didn't acquire Lucchese in that three-team trade, the Padres wouldn't have been able to trade Musgrave to the Padres. But, yeah, the Mets, man, the Mets are having a typical year. I mean, with the exception of them actually making it, they're leading the division. But the Mets, you know, they've been like how they've been prior to the Yankees taking that injury bug. Mets have, like, at least 16 players on the IL as we speak. And most of those guys were on the opening day lineup. But the magical thing that's been happening these past couple of games or this season, the bench mob has been performing. You know, Nido, he's been a backup catcher for many years. He's starting to swing the bat, and you know that put James McCann, you know, the 4-year, I think what is it, $40 million contract guy that we signed in the offseason. He's the bench guy right now, and then you got unlikely heroes. You got Mazika, you know, hitting his first major league home run not too long ago, and having two walk-offs and like with days apart, you know, this season, and then just most recently, Friday night, you know, basically in extra innings, you had Fargis, you had Kalel Hill, you had Hager, you know, they had big hits, and basically. Khalil Hill and Hager got their first major league hit in the same exact inning, and that propelled the Mets, you know, to take the lead in the extra innings, in the 12th inning, and basically, you know, shut down the Marlins that game, and then you know. Then, of course, you know, today we had this game. But, yeah, the Mets, they've been battling the injury bug, but it seemed like every day, with the exception of Now it's yesterday's game since it's 12:04 as I'm speaking to you. You know, with the exception of Saturday's game, you know, they've been having guys, unlikely heroes, come and save the team and help lead them to the victory, because the bullpen has been great, the bench has been great. You know, out of nowhere they've been producing. It's just the starting lineup. They have to step it up. I mean, once they could avoid the injury bug. I mean, a lot. Pete Alonso is now on the IL. Yeah, they just need to stay healthy and produce and get these guys back. I mean, the only guy from the starting lineup actually, Dom Smith didn't even start opening day, but he's the only regular guy. Oh yeah, and Lindor. Lindor, he's been hitting lately. Those are the only two guys, Lindor and Dom Smith, that's been in the lineup regularly. Everybody else has been on the IL. So hopefully the Mets can come true. Jacob DeGrom, he threw against the single A team, and they were posting hilarious stuff on social media about how he's just killing them. Like, you definitely got to check that out. But yeah, all in all, the Mets, you know, they're in first place, and they, you know, they just got to stay healthy. And, you know, hopefully Carrasco can come back. Syndergaard should be coming sometime next month. So, you know, let's go Mets. So, you know, basically, you know, DeGrom, when he comes back, he should be good to go. He might even pitch this Tuesday. You got Stroman, who bounced back from that horrible start he had the previous start before, was it Friday night? And then you have Walker, who's been great, but I think he might be on the IL too. So, and then, oh yeah, Kevin Pillar, he had that big injury when he collided to the center field wall a few days ago. I think it might have been against the Braves. And he felt bad that he was on the IL instead of his face, his nose getting broken he injured his face not too long ago, running in the wall, but he still played. What happened to him recently was that he got hit by the pitch on the nose, broke his nose, was down for like a minute or two, and got up by his own power. Like, it was crazy. But, well, you know,
with all the injuries and everything going on, the Mets, I should say,
mm-hmm.
is still in first place. Because right now the National League East, you know, Braves, Marlins, and those other teams, they're not separating themselves from the bunch. So the Mets, they're leading the pack.
Absolutely. And Mets,
hopefully, the Mets can hold on to this division.
Mm-hmm. Mets, as we speak, they have a 2.5-game lead on the Phillies and the Braves, who are both Phillies and Braves. The Mets' two biggest rivals are tied for second place,
the
two
Braves
games behind.
Achieving this year.
Oh yes, Braves is the shocking team of this whole bunch. How they're underachieving. It's. I mean, they've suffered injuries as well, but. Yeah, you know, it's surprising with that talent. They should be in on
much
it.
Much better. Yeah.
Yeah, and another thing, you know, Mets made a small move. They acquired the former Marlin and the former Cub, and of course, the former Marlin and Yankee, Cameron Maben. He got traded to the Mets.
Oh really?
You know?
Oh.
Yeah. I don't think he has a hit yet as a Met, but. Yeah, he went back to the future when he was with the Yankees 2 years ago.
Oh yeah,
that spark off the bench, you know, with you guys, you know, playing with you guys.
Yeah, he I liked him. I like when he was on the team. You know, I wish we could have kept him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, hopefully he does well with you guys.
Yeah, hopefully he can learn how to, he can hit, because he's. He's been doing some dazzling plays. You know, this guy, he had some, you know, moments against the Mets, you know, on those Mets teams that collapsed in 07 or 08. As a matter of fact, Mabin infamously caught the last out that eliminated the Mets from the postseason in 08, which was also the last day of Shea, when they had all the legends showed up in Mets history. You had Yogi Berra, you know, Doc and Daryl and Ed Cranepool, all the Met greats, you know, they were there. Seaver, Piazza, I mean, you name it. All the Mets, the Mets who were living at that time showed up, and that, you know, arguably probably was some of those guys I mentioned was their last appearance, you know, in a Met uniform. But yeah, so hopefully he can make some Met magic this year as a member of the Mets. So you gotta believe, hopefully the Mets can keep this division and go on a magical run. You know, who knows? If the Knicks can do it right now, hopefully the Mets can do it too, hopefully. So let's see what happens. But yeah, shifting gears, WWE. Yeah, let's get to this WrestleMania Backlash. I didn't see all of it. I saw it towards the end. What was your thoughts of the pay-per-view?
It was okay. It was okay. It wasn't great, but it was an okay pay-per-view. I watched some of it. I didn't watch all of it. The beginning I saw, but I kind of drifted off in the end there.
Yeah, let's dive right into it. So, yeah, we had a surprise match, Sheamus versus Ricochet. And, of course, you know, Sheamus defeated Ricochet. Rhea Ripley, she defended her Raw Women's title against Asuka and Charlotte.
I was surprised by that one.
Yeah, I thought Charlotte was going to win that one.
I thought Charlotte would have won that one, yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes it's good to be wrong.
Yeah.
But we're just avoiding the inevitable. Charlotte will win the title back.
Eventually.
Faster than you could say SummerSlam. She'll be a champion already.
Yeah.
All right. So Rey Mysterio and Dominic Mysterio, of course, they defeated Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode for the SmackDown Tag Team Champions, which was expected. And it made perfect sense. You know, congratulations to the Mysterio family, you know, being the first father and son duo to win a tag team title. So,
yeah, much congrats. Props.
And then, you know, you had Damian Priest defeat The Miz in the Lumberjack match. And The Miz, for the first time in his career, he suffered a major injury. So, you know, speedy recovery for The Miz.
And you had the Army of the Dead. You know,
yeah, I heard about that. I missed that match, but yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah, they were the Lumberjacks outside of the ring, and it was like watching Walking the Dead.
Wait, time out. So the Lumberjacks, they didn't have regular Lumberjacks. I did hear about zombies who were inside the pay-per-view event. So they didn't have regular, they never had any regular
No wrestlers. It was just the Army of the Dead outside.
It was just zombies.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. That is insane. Because
I know
a lot of people were talking about, like, zombies were at the pay-per-view event.
Yeah.
But the Lumberjacks were entirely zombies. Like, come on.
Yep.
Who was this Damian Priest doing or something? Did they even explain why there's zombie?
I don't know. But, you know.
Why didn't they do that in the WrestleMania between the Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton?
Yeah, that would have been a great idea.
That would make more sense.
Yeah.
Because the only supernatural thing Damian Priest does is, you know, he does his poses in the ring, and he does that firing arrow thing, and then, you know, the sky or the arena shows his name, written in fire. That's it. Like, it's not like he really has powers that they show he has powers in this thing.
Blasphemous.
So it just, what do you say?
It's blasphemous.
Well, like, it's out of place. And then you got Bianca Belair.
He's as real as Peter Popoff.
You get no argument from me. Allegedly. But Bianca Belair, she defeated Bayley, and it looks like they're gonna have a rematch. You know, Bianca Belair retained the title. She's still the SmackDown Women's Champion. You have Bobby Lashley defeating Braun Strowman and Drew McIntyre as expected. And he retains the WWE Championship. And it looks like they're teasing that Kofi might be the next title championship contender after he defeated Brock Lesnar with Drew McIntyre's interference by hitting Bobby Lashley with Drew Mac with MVP's walking stick. And then, last but not least, you had Roman Reigns defeat Cesaro and made him pass out. And he retained the WWE Universal Championship. So, all in all, you know, they had some good matches here and there, but this was needless pay-per-view event. They just, other than Rey Mysterio and his son winning the title, they were just basically treading water. There was no other title, titles change, you know. To me, this was just a waste of a pay-per-view. And then to rebrand it as WrestleMania Backlash, come on now, this makes no sense. I'm looking forward to the Hell in the Cell pay-per-view event, but this was needless, like, If you're not gonna have any title changes, with the exception of the Rey Mysterio one, why are you gonna have a pay-per-view event? This was a waste of time, really. Trying to think what else happened. Oh, on SmackDown, what's his name? Apollo Crews was able to retain his title. Because Aleister Black made his return from seven months ago. You know, he finally showed up after weeks of cutting promos of his return. He finally showed up and hit Black Mass on, that spinning kick, roundhouse kick on Big E so that Apollo can retain it.
Yeah, that was a good match. But the way it ended, that was BS.
Typical WWE.
So now, is Aleister Black, is he going to fight Apollo? Is he going to fight Big E? Who's he going to fight exactly?
I'm assuming he's going to fight Big E. Big E, then that's going to take Big E out of the Intercontinental picture.
But it doesn't make no sense because he did it to try to prevent Big E from winning the title. But does he want the Intercontinental title himself? I don't get where this is headed.
That would be my
maybe opinion. They might even have a triple threat. Maybe. Who knows?
Maybe. But yeah, that's the WWE news. I'm trying to think. Impact Wrestling. Basically, Moose is going to battle Kenny Omega, the AEW and Impact Wrestling champion, for the title. And apparently Moose, his contract is up with Impact Wrestling, so who knows? He might, if he loses the match, which, you know, that's a possibility, obviously, he might end up being in WWE for all we know. And AEW news. Trying to think what happened. Also, they're gonna have a pay per view upcoming as well. It escapes me, but I'm trying to think what else happened that was major. Cody Rhodes is gonna fight. The Ogogo guy coming up in the pay-per-view event, and he's going to be, for the first time ever, he's going to be called The American Dream, Cody Rhodes, in honor of his father, you know. So that's a memorable thing. And, oh, yes, the Inner Circle is going to battle the Pinnacle one more time at the Stadium Stampede match. And if Inner Circle loses again, then they're going to have to break up their group. So, yeah, if that happens, Jericho is going to go solo. You know, but, yeah, that's, you know, that's the way it is. So we'll see what happens. We'll keep you posted. Anything else you'd like to, tell us, Mac?
No, that's about it. Everyone just, check out I'm Mac. We're listening for my podcast and come back, check out Sports Urban Legend, only on Block Talk Radio every Saturdays at 11.
Yeah, so you heard the man. Check out those shows. Check out my show. Check out my YouTube show, Sports Urban Legend TV. Of course, check out IMAX show. Check your local listings on that. And check out this show, Sports Urban Legend, with your host, William Rameau, the man you're hearing talking to you right now. I'll be back next Saturday at 10, next Saturday at 11. Don't come out at 10 because you're going to be an hour early, you know. Come back next Saturday at 11. We're going to be here talking to you. Hopefully we'll be talking to Nick's win. So he's a Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Rameau. I'll see you next week. And now that I remember, you know, rest in peace to Paul Mooney, you know, a comedian. Great, you know, he's worked behind the scenes of, you know, of In Living Color. I'm trying to think what other show, the Richard Pryor show, and so, you know, Chappelle show did some funny, you know, Negro Domus and other, you know, clips on that. So, you know, rest in peace to him, and you know, we'll see you guys next week, hopefully with some more Nick wins, you know, in the playoffs. So, again, he's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Rameau. See you guys next week. And let's go Knicks.
We are the New York Knicks. We are the New York Knicks. We are the New York Knicks. We are the New York Knicks.
They go New York, go New York. On the fourth floor, Morris 94, and the Knicks are hardcore, and I'll tell you like this, we ain't never looked sharper. With Hubert, Bonner, Gray, and Harper, it's the Knicks, and we're back on pace. Everyone's gearing up for the championship race, and the fans are going crazy, and they're doing it for a reason. Cause 94 is the Knickerbocker season. You better believe the Knicks got all that cake. We're shooting three-pointers, and we're running fast breaks, and if your defense makes a mistake, then bam, you ain't dunks in your face. This is a team you don't wanna miss. We are New York. We are the New York Knicks. Go New York, go New York, go! No rebounds, if that's the case, we put Oakley and Mace in your face. We draw charges and we set picks. We are New York. We are the New York Knicks. They go New York, go New York, go!